Morning. This morning I'm going to be speaking about taking the high road. There's a song on the radio that's pretty new that inspired my talk today because it irritated me. And it's titled "I'll Pray for You." And some of you may have heard it, but it involves a guy who isn't a church person, who has a problem with somebody, and he goes to church, and he said he's listened to the preacher, and he's turned over a new leaf. He's going to take the high road, and he's going to pray for that person. He'll pray for their brakes to go out going down a hill, pray for a flower pot to fall off the windowsill and hit him in the head like he'd like to, and that their birthday comes and nobody calls, and all kind of other bad things. Maybe it sounds a little extreme to get irritated over this song, but then the lady comes on the radio after the song gets done. This is probably my most requested song that I have on the radio right now. It's like, man, what are people thinking? But it really seems to make a mockery of being a Christian, in my opinion, of what we're supposed to be. Taking the high road is something Christ knows all about. And he prayed for those that crucified him, that they don't know what they're doing. He prayed for them when they were beating him. How many people are willing to do that? Taking the high road means that you treat others with extra respect as you would treat a friend. You treat your enemies just like you would treat somebody that you didn't like. Even non-Christians are nice to their friends. It takes a true Christian to be nice to those that are mean to them. We shouldn't hold grudges against people like that. If we turn to Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that they may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he that maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than the others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is in heaven is perfect. So we're supposed to treat everybody with kindness, not just those that don't make us mad. Christ explains the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian just in the way we treat people. If we turn to Luke 18, verses 10 through 14, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, and smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified more than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We shouldn't view ourselves better than other Christians or other people, because God made us all, every one of us. It doesn't matter who we are or where we come from or who our parents were. We're all made by God. Wishing and praying for bad things to happen to someone God created isn't the way God wants us to think. God doesn't listen to the prayers of the wicked. And if we pray for things like that, we're wicked. If we go back to Matthew chapter 5 again and read verses 38 through 40, you have all heard that it said, that has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, also turn him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee of the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. We are supposed to not respond aggressively or with anger when we are wronged, especially by a brother or sister. We are to go the extra mile for Christ and not go the extra mile for ourselves. We're not here about ourselves. If we go to Matthew 10, the 32nd verse through the 42nd verse. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace upon the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake will find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoso shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. How should we act? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? We're not supposed to look for the best way to further ourselves. We're supposed to look for the best way to help our brothers and to serve God. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. It is our job to preserve what we have. Is it our job to preserve what we have or to expand on it? We know the parents of the talent, parable of the talents. That's both of them. Our whole attitude should be one of helpfulness toward others, even those that we don't particularly get along with very well. That's what separates us from the world. Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in the payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe me. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay all the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came unto their Lord and told him all that was done. Then his Lord after that called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou hast desired of me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he shall pay all that was due to him. So likewise will my heavenly Father do so unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We're supposed to be forgiving as Christians. We have one prominent story of holding a grudge in the book of Jonah. Nineveh was a wicked city, and Jonah wanted to see them suffer. He wanted to see them suffer for what they'd done wrong, and God wanted Jonah to go and preach to them, but Jonah didn't listen. He went to try to go to Tarshish instead to preach there, because he wanted Nineveh to suffer, and he wound up having 3 days to think of it in the belly of a whale, that he had done the wrong things and caused a storm to come on the ship. God doesn't want us to wish bad things on others or to choose not to let them know about their mistakes and just let them live with their mistakes and not point out what they're doing is wrong. Sometimes even Christians and people that know the word need to be pointed in the right direction and be made to realize what they've done. So we don't want to be like Jonah. It is human, however, for us to want to have revenge reaped on someone for evil they have done or wrongs that they have done to us, but it isn't Christian. Instead, we need to focus on making our faith known and that it is for everyone to share in. Sometimes maybe we spend too much time trying to blend in with worldly environments than trying to make a point for God and showing who we truly are. Maybe that point won't initially be well received, but that person might come back to you later with a question if they know that you're a Christian. We need to make ourselves well studied enough to help those people. And back in Matthew 5, chapter 5 again, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we are light to others, then they will see that light, and they will know that we are Christians, and they will know who they are supposed to serve. As Christians, we should know that there is no one that is unable to accept the word. We shouldn't look down on anyone if they are willing to listen. If you go to Matthew 9, verses 1 through 13, it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, and behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, saying, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed into his house. But when the multitudes seen it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And Jesus passed forth from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that Jesus set meat in the house, and behold, all the publicans and sinners came down to and sat with him and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw it. They said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And Jesus heard that, and he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come unto call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we're supposed to not just worry about teaching each other and preaching the word to each other. We're supposed to preach the word to people that are not of our faith. It is easy to look at ourselves and say that we are doing God's will because of what the Bible says and that we believe that we're teaching the right thing. But what growth do we have, especially versus the depletion? When we look over our group, we can see mostly the same people that have always been here. While we're happy to have all those people and not lost them, haven't we lost more than we have gained? What work do we do to build on what we have? And I'm not unguilty of this myself. We all can still work harder. We're not entitled to anything. Would we be more likely to stay involved with the church if we had invested ourselves into helping somebody else find God? I don't think that's an unreasonable question. The more we have invested in something, the more we want to be there to see it succeed. No one has invested more in the church than Christ. So shouldn't we invest? If we don't think we are capable or we think we're too busy, how busy can we be to sow God's seed if that's our primary purpose in being alive, as it should be? We need to study to show ourselves able to serve God. Do we honestly think we can save ourselves by knowing God's word and setting on it? Or by reading the Bible and not spreading it? When we only let each other know of our love for God and don't speak to others outside of the church, or just tell our kids not to hang out with a certain person, what are we doing to our souls? Wouldn't we be like the servant burying his talent for fear of losing it? Are we losing our souls for fear of losing our children? We just want to bury them and hide them and shield them from the world. Are we so unstudied and embarrassed of the Bible that we don't want to speak it to the world? In Acts 10, verses 10 through 15, it talks about how God spoke of the Gentiles and that we're not supposed to call unclean what God has cleaned. We're not supposed to call that unclean. The word is for everybody. Are we able to receive the word? All are able to receive the word of God, not just some. Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should not hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, Lord, O Lord, son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So shouldn't we likewise be kind to those that others speak poorly about because they don't fit in, that they don't know how to socially fit into the group? Some people just don't fit into society very well, and people talk them down because they don't fit in. And in doing that, they build themselves up above them. What about others first? As Christians, we shouldn't be part of such conversations against other people, but rather find a way of showing kindness to that person. That is a person that can be won over to Christ if they are treated well by Christians. We can't fall into gossip circles against people. And in Luke 7, verses 36 through 48, it speaks of the woman that washed Christ's feet with her hair and with her tears. The woman was a sinner, and others were willing to cast her off, but Christ was willing to pay attention to her and tell her that her sins were forgiven because of her faith in him. It's now 2010. It's a new year, and with it come resolutions. We should resolve to extend kindness and God's word to anyone who is willing to listen. Our actions are the actions of the church, because we are the church. And as a congregation, we at this time will extend the opportunity to those who want to become a member of the church, or to take care of any lingering issues that they might be dealing with at this time, as we stand and sing the invitation song.